It's so good to be with each and every one of you today. It's such a great opportunity and a privilege to just be able to share with you. I just want to take a little moment to thank you, Pastor Lee, who I've not actually ever had the pleasure of meeting you yet, but I take it that you are a great man of faith by entrusting me to do this today, and I'm just really, really grateful for the opportunity. And I say hi to each and every one of you. I say hi to Stephen. I think I also saw a couple of you on the Angel Tree call the other night, which was just a really, really great time to see the work that goes in behind the scenes for Prison Fellowship and the Angel Tree. And just thank you once again. I really pray that through this, through my story, through what it is that God wants to communicate, that each and every one of you are able to take something away today. And yeah, I think one of the greatest things for me about this journey with the Lord is his transforming power. That I was once a messed up, lonely, broken prisoner, and I say prisoner in more ways than one, and God has just completely transformed my life. And he's not only transformed my life, but where I was once part of the problem, he's now helped me to become part of the solution, that I'm now able to see many, many others come to know the love and the power of Jesus Christ. And I've been asked to share this morning because, as you may know, hopefully, that we're actually in National Prisons Week, and this is where we just take some more time out to dedicate ourselves, to consecrate, to praying for different things throughout the prison system, for victims of crime, for the staff, for prisoners, and it's just such a wonderful incentive, because sometimes the prison system, and not just prisoners, but the prison system in general, can be overlooked. And that's why I think the theme for this year is such a key theme. The theme this year is, you are not alone. And I have to say this, that this theme, you are not alone, it's not just a message for prisoners. This is a message for each and every one of us during this time. During this pandemic season, we've seen our relationships attacked like never before. We've seen people become isolated and become prisoners in their own homes. People cut off from their family members, from even their carers, and different things. And I believe it's such an attack that's come against the whole people of this world, and to try and isolate, to try and separate, and try and divide. But we have this great overarching theme for National Prisons Week that speaks the truth of God's word into each and every one of our lives, that no matter where we find ourselves, that the truth is we are not alone. The great thing is this we're doing via technology. We've learned new skills, hopefully, some of us throughout this season. We've learned new ways to communicate, technology. I know some of you, including myself, have been Zooming all over the place. And it's really been a whole new season of learning, of getting to grips with different things and being able to connect with one another in different ways. And that, for me, is the plan of God. That no matter where the enemy tries to come in and separate and divide, God will raise up a people that will find out how to connect, how to bring community, because being alone isn't just something that God brings a solution to. He uses his people to bring that solution, to bring community, to bring connection, and to bring relationship, because that's his ultimate plan. And I'm going to go on a journey with you this morning. I'm going to ask you to come on a journey with me. I have something that the Lord has laid upon my heart, and what I'm going to do is just bring a focal scripture, and then we're going to sort of journey, and I will weave my story in as we go. So whatever you have this morning, whether it's a device or you have your paper Bible, I just ask you, if you can, and you're willing, hopefully you are, to just turn your Bible as we just read the Word of God. We're going to go to Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. So, as we read this morning, the Word of God says, In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty. Darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Let's pray this morning. Father, I just thank you for your word. Your word is living and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. Father, I thank you for this opportunity. And I ask, O Holy Spirit, that you would come and move within each and every one of our lives, that you would speak in a way that only you could speak, God. And I pray for a real awakening and an understanding that even in this pandemic season, even in prisons, God, none of us are alone. Would you waken us to that truth that you are with us, that from the very beginning of time, oh God, you were there. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to lead me and guide me. God, open each and every one of our hearts to receive something from you today. We commit this precious time that we have with one another into your hands. In Jesus' name, amen. So, I want you to just keep this in your mind as we journey together. We take this from the scripture that I just read. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Before anything was, God was. When there was nothing and no one, God was there. When there was emptiness, when there was chaos, as some commentators put it, God, the Spirit of God, was hovering and waiting to speak life into existence. Now, I'm going to be honest, you don't have to have been a prisoner or a drug addict to have gone through some stuff. I know I can't technically hear you, but I am hearing you say amen to that, because we don't have to have been in a chaotic lifestyle to have dealt with some issues, whether it's work-related stress, whether it's financial hardship, whether it's ministry challenges, whether it's children and family challenges. Every one of us at some point in our lives have gone through something. And I want to say this, that even in preparation for this message, I went through some challenges. The theme, you are not alone. Let me tell you, I had to wrestle to really understand the truth that I'm not alone. And sometimes, for those of you that are volunteering, even in your own families, in ministry, you can feel, I felt overlooked, undervalued, and like you don't matter. But something I want to communicate, and I really believe that God dropped this in my spirit, and I don't know who this for, but I know it spoke to me, that sometimes in the busyness of life and in the busyness of this season and the busyness of pouring out for other people, we can feel undervalued and overlooked. But the truth is, God says that you matter, I matter, that he sees you. He sees your faithful service. He sees what it is that you're doing in your family. He sees the prayers that you're praying. He hears. You are not alone. I am not alone. We matter to God. So, the challenge of a cell, I'm going to call this part. When I was in prison, one of the things that I remember very, very clearly is I was placed in a cell with four other women. Now, I'm an introvert by nature, so it was a bit of a challenge. And I think one of the things that was interesting to me, that despite being in a cell with four other people, I felt so desperately alone. And that is the truth of how we can feel. We can be surrounded by people wherever we are and still have this feeling of being so desperately alone. One of the things that I was challenged with, that I struggled with growing up, was I had quite a low self-esteem. I suffered from rejection, and I also just I had this desperate need to fit in somewhere. And I think that stems from loneliness and from not being understood. So what happened was, is I tried to place myself in all of these different places to try and fit in. A lot of different random places that I found myself in. One of them was I used to end up hanging around with just random guys. So I'd play truant from school and I'd go around to these guys' house and I'd be drinking. Drinking all day at the age of 14 and 15. Not quite sure how I was meant to fit in with them, but it was the desperation that came from loneliness and from not feeling understood. Even in my own family, I never quite felt that I fit in. One of the things about my family makeup, and just a little disclaimer, I have a wonderful, wonderful mum who has stood by me through a lot of things, and I'm so grateful for her. But at a young age, my parents divorced, and I think I was 2 years old. Then when I got to about 9 years old, my mum got in another relationship. They got married and went on to have two children. So what happened to me is, with my dad starting a new family and my mum starting a new family, there I was in the midst of it all and I didn't know where I fit. I was like, I don't know where I fit. So even in the midst of this extended family and all of these people, I had no idea what my part was in it. And I just want to say this, that loneliness, if you can take this away from this part of my story, loneliness is a real battle for people in prison, but it's not exclusive to prisoners. Loneliness is a condition of the heart. Because you see, no matter who you are or where you are, every one of us can feel lonely. I think one of these things that I heard, I listened to a lot of podcasts and things, and I heard something the other day, and I think this is key. Something that they do in retail and hospitality, because they recognise the importance of people being seen and understood, is they encourage that there needs to be a good welcome and a good goodbye. Good goodbye, a good goodbye. So when you come into an establishment, that there's someone there to greet you, it's a way of saying, I see you. Because one of the greatest inner needs of human beings is a desire to be known and to be understood. And there's something that I really, really believe. When we're going through struggles, when we're going through battles, because they happen and they come, and if they don't and you haven't had one yet, then praise God for your life. And I'm praying for you for when they do come. One of the greatest things, two of the greatest words that I believe that you can hear when going through a battle and a struggle is me too. That ability to be understood. Now, why do I say that? Why do I say that being able to share struggles with one another is important? Being able to have someone say, you know what, me too, it's cool, I get it, I understand. I'm going to tell you why. So as I mentioned earlier, one of my biggest challenges was feeling like I didn't fit in. Now, that feeling of not fitting in and being different, as I said, it led me to do some crazy things just to feel like I fit in. So at a young age, I was playing truant, as I said, and then things quickly escalated. And I mean, when I say quickly escalated, they quickly escalated. I then began smoking crack cocaine. I got myself in some really, really heavy relationships. And when I say heavy, I mean abusive and violent and controlling. In these relationships, I had three children at a young age, before the age of 21. I had three children and I didn't know what I was doing with them. Just being really honest, I was still a child in my mind myself, But in my loneliness and in that desperation, I thought, you know what I'll do? Solution. Let's get a solution. I will get myself hooked up with a guy and I will have children. I will have my own family. I will create it and make it happen myself. And guess what? I won't be lonely anymore. Guess what? I was here with three children, an abusive partner, and a void inside of me. There was this void inside of me that a partner couldn't fill, that kids, my own kids, couldn't fill. And what happened is I'll describe it as this. I began to die inside. My body was alive and well, sort of, with the stuff I was taking, but I just didn't understand. I didn't understand what my life had become. I didn't understand this journey as a mother. I didn't understand why I was with this abusive man. I didn't understand how the world was meant to be this wonderful place. I was seeing all of these great families and people doing wonderful things, and here I was, a broken mess with an emptiness inside. And I think the scariest thing about it for me, and I don't know if any of you can relate to this, regardless of all the chaos of my life, is sometimes when we go through struggles, we keep them to ourselves. Because I think one of the biggest lies of this world, and I will dare to venture and say a big lie within some Christian scenes, hopefully not yours, is this thing of keep your mouth shut, put on the face of faith, and keep your struggles. It's just me and the Lord, and I'm going to keep my struggle. And you know what? It traps people. Bigger than being incarcerated in an actual prison, sometimes we can become imprisoned in our fears and our insecurities and our struggles, because we're so scared that if we communicate what's really going on, we'll get judged, we'll get condemned, and we will become this person who has no faith, a failure, or defective. And it's a lie. I'm telling you right now, it's a lie, because God says that we are to hold out our withered hand. He cannot heal what we don't show him. Likewise, people cannot understand your struggles without you speaking and communicating what it is that you're going through. Sometimes we become trapped in these prisons of loneliness and fear that have been built up by our own preconceived ideas. And you know, sometimes the greatest thing that sets us free from that prison of loneliness is simply communicating where we're at. You know, the Bible doesn't tell us to be strong and have it all together. Yes, it says be strong and courageous, for the Lord is with us. And then the Bible tells us that we are to come to God in our weakness, because it's in weakness that his strength is made perfect. So I'm encouraging you, when you feel weak, when you feel alone, don't put your mask on, and I'm not talking about a COVID mask, don't front it out, find yourself a trusted friend and share. We share our burdens with one another. I can't carry your load, you can't carry mine, but we can share one another's burdens. And that, I believe, is one of the great messages of the whole theme. You are not alone. God is with us, but he gives us community. He gives us fellowship with one another. That we support one another, that we pray for one another, that we carry one another's burdens, is such a key thing. Community. So, as I said, I was struggling, I was challenged. I didn't want to tell people that I was struggling because I was scared of the outcome. So I masked up. Pre-COVID, I put on my I'm all good and everything's great. But the thing is, I was only fooling me. I didn't fool the social workers and I didn't fool my family. So what happened was me trying to be mum, which didn't work. I didn't fool the social workers, as I said. They then made an intervention and my three children were placed into the care of my family. And even though I felt desperately alone and rejected at that time, now I look back and I see the Lord, that I wasn't alone and that God entrusted my children to my family members. I wish I'd seen it like that at that point, but unfortunately, I descended into absolute chaos. If you thought it was chaotic before, oh no, 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 no. I managed to find myself in even more chaotic predicaments, I'll call them. So I went from bad relationship to bad relationship, abuse, drunkenness, drugs, domestic violence, you name it, I did it. There's probably some things you can't even think about that I did. And what happened from there was I ended up having to start committing crimes to fund my drug addiction. I stole from shops and I went on to even do burglaries. And it was doing burglaries that landed me in HMP Holloway in 2012. The amazing thing is, I did say HMP Holloway and then amazing in the same sentence. The amazing thing is about this time, like our scripture that we read at the start in Genesis, that in this chaos, God was there and God was hovering, because he's just hovering, waiting to bring order out of our chaos. But because of the type of man that he is, he's a gentleman and he's not going to force his way in. But he's letting you know today that he's there. Whatever situation, whatever circumstance, he's there and he's hovering and he's waiting to speak life. So here I was in HMP Holloway and I was just making my way across the landing one day, over the landing of D3. I remember it clearly in my mind. And there on a notice board in D3 landing, I saw this poster. And this poster was on the board and it was jumped out at me. And it was for the Angel Tree. Now, some of you may know, some of you may not know, the Angel Tree is a great initiative by Prison Fellowship, which provides presents, Christmas presents, for the children of people in prison. So I saw this thing, so you can get a Christmas present. Me, little old crack-eyed me, strolling along the landing. Christmas present for my kids. I hadn't got one Christmas present for my kids in years. And I actually thought, okay, there must be some catch to this. You're going to want me to sign up to some course. You're going to want me to do ABC or jump through this hoop and that hoop. So I thought, okay, let me fill out the form and let's just test the waters a bit. But there wasn't any catch. There wasn't any catch to it. It was just amazing. I was just absolutely blown away. And in that dark, dark, lonely place, in my physical and mental prison cell, God ministered his love to me. My children, my three children, who hadn't received anything from me in 4 years, and I will go as far to share that my daughter at one point didn't know if I was alive or dead. They received Christmas presents from me. They received Christmas presents from me. And it was just, I couldn't comprehend it. I'd lived such a crazy lifestyle with a lot of different situations that told me I was nothing, I was worthless, and that I didn't matter. And then all of a sudden, these people that I didn't know bought my kids Christmas presents from me. And there was something that happened in my heart that day. In my cold, hard heart, God began to break up the hardness, the pain, the loneliness. He began to speak to me. He began to speak order into my chaos. He began to speak hope into my loneliness. And when I say he began to speak and he began to minister his love, like, what does that mean? I mean, do I mean that I heard an audible voice? Did I see the clouds part from the heavens and angels come flying down? No. But angels he did use, and they looked just like you and me. So what happened from there? I came out of prison at the end of 2012, just after Christmas, and I determined in my heart that, okay, you know what, there are some good people in this world, and you know what, maybe there is more for me in this life. Maybe I can change. Maybe I can make a difference. Maybe I can get clean from drugs. The challenge I found was coming out of prison and going into a shared house. I was there, and so was the loneliness. Because even though I'd had a touch and experienced the love of God through other people, I don't believe I'd had a true revelation of it for myself. So while I desired to live in a new way, my circumstances dictated otherwise. I was so consumed by the things that were around me. The people that I hung around with were still drug addicts, and they didn't care. They were happy, comfortable in their cells, in their self-contained cells of loneliness and addiction. And I began to find this pull. There was this tension between wanting to do the right thing and between just, I don't know how else to live, so I have to take drugs. So while I had this desire within me, there was this conflict and this inner thing of going on that was like, I can't do this. Because to separate myself from this life of addiction, I'm going to have to walk alone. Because none of my mates, could I call them mates? None of the people that I were hanging with wanted to change. So if I was going to have to change, I was going to have to do it on my own. And I wasn't ready for that. I wasn't. It's been a journey. I ended up relapsing in 2013. I ended up heavily back on drugs. I ended up going back to prison two more times. One of the times I went back, the drug workers didn't even want to work with me. I was that far gone. I was so out of it. And I really do believe that that was to do with the conflict of wanting to live right and not wanting to do the right thing. The problem with addiction is that you don't always change overnight. I know God can do this instant transformation, and it's brilliant, and it happens for some people, but for other people it's a journey. And the biggest thing for me was I just didn't know how to live this life. I didn't know how to do it on my own. I ended up the final time back in prison at the end of 2013. From there, I came out, ended up relapsing again. And then I said, I can't do it. Can't do it in London. I have to do something radical. That's when, at the end of 2013, I moved to Victory Outreach Manchester. I went into their Victory Home, which is a Christian sober living facility. And it was there that God really began to get a hold of my life. And whilst there in that house, surrounded once again by people, I felt so desperately alone. But I had people that taught me and equipped me and showed me how to wage war with the Word of God, how to find God in prayer, how to really, really seek after His truth. And it was in a place of prayer that God spoke to me oh so clearly. And He told me that on this journey, I was going to have to walk in the physical on my own, often, but he would always be with me because he is a friend that sticks closer than a brother, and he never leaves us and he never forsakes us and he never fails us. He is from everlasting to everlasting, and he promised me that no matter how many people came and went from my life, that he would never leave and he would never fail, and that some people will come into our lives for just a season. Not everyone is going to be in your life for all of your life. Some people we journey with for a season. But we have to trust and we have to believe that God brings the right people at the right time. And when we feel like we're down to nothing and we feel like there's no one, he is there. He is there. He is faithful. He never leaves and he never fails. And it takes us making a decision to seek him, to find him, to chase after him. It takes effort. In 2 Peter, it says that God has given us everything we need to live a life of godliness. But then he tells us to make every effort to add to our faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control. So we have to put in effort with this. And I'm going to come in to a close, and I'm going to end on this note. I just thank you for your time, first and foremost. Everyone, prisoner or not, feels lonely. Every one of us goes through periods of loneliness. But God's truth is we're not alone. You know, there's a difference between loneliness and being alone. Loneliness is something that can be forced upon us. It's a feeling, it's an inner need and an inner longing. Sometimes we need to be alone. If you're introverted like me, you need your alone time. So there's a difference. But the only way that we can truly know and understand that we're not alone ever is by actively engaging in prayer, actively engaging in reading and studying of the word. And I mean taking out your Bible, getting your commentaries, getting to a small group, getting connected with other believers and being accountable, because it's the word that does the work. It changes and it transforms us. And when you understand that the word is life and he is the word, you'll realize that you take your Bible out and you're not on your own, because he speaks. His word is living and active, and he speaks through his word. I'm going to finish on this. And I've taken this from the National Prisons website. Let us pray. Let us act. Let us declare. God spoke the world into existence. Genesis 1. In the beginning, God. He created the heavens and the earth. Let us pray, let us act, let us declare. Declare words of life, declare words of hope, declare words of healing into a broken world. God spoke the world into existence. God created us in his image. It is up to us to pray for our prisoners, to pray for our prison system, to pray for one another. Let us pray, let us act, let us declare. Thank you for your time. I'm going to close out in a word of prayer, and I've just been so, so grateful to be with you. Father, I thank you for each and every person under the sound of my voice. I thank you for your word, that your word is living and active. I thank you that you breathe life where there is death, that you breathe hope into hopelessness. I thank you, Almighty God, that you, God, are with us always from the beginning of time, God. You were there, God. You never sleep and you never slumber. You are with us from the beginning of the age to the end of time. time. God, you are from everlasting to everlasting. God, I pray that you would speak to each and every one of us, that throughout our day, God, you would continue to remind us, God, that you are with us. God, would you bring us into community with one another, oh God? Would you help us to carry one another's burdens, oh God? Father, would you remind us that you are with us? You are with us. We are not alone. God, I pray for every person here today, Lord. For those who feel lonely, for those who feel overlooked and left out, God, speak your love. Oh, speak tenderly to every person that you see them. You see them. You see their labor. You see their struggles. You see their pain. You see them. You hear the cries of their heart, and they matter. Everyone matters, Lord. Every one of us has value in your sight. Thank you, Father, for who you are. We praise you and we thank you. Hallelujah. God bless you all. Thank you so much for having me. And hopefully I'll get to see you all at some point when this is all done.